Sportscast, June 12, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can get the Insta Bible app on the iOS app store. Today we have a special episode, but before we introduce our special guest, we got Ryan Krista on the line. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you very much, Santiago. Glad to be back as we get closer to live sports here in the United States, and especially the NBA.
NBA, that is the key word for this podcast. Ryan, give us a brief introduction of our special guest today.
Today we have Jimmy, how do you spell it? Crowther?
Crowther.
Crowther.
Like David Crowther.
There you go.
If I'm all things Mavs, he is the insider. We'll be able to give us a lot of insight on the Mavericks and also the NBA.
Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to talk some basketball as we get a little bit closer to the start of the NBA season.
Jimmy, we always have a need for basketball commentators, but can you tell us a little bit of a brief bio of you and your Twitter and site?
Yeah, let's do it. So I run All Things Mavs on Twitter. You can find me at @all_things_Mavs. And started that Twitter actually as just basically a burner account to talk NBA basketball. And here we are, 6-7 years later, got around nearly 20,000 followers on there, talking all things basketball, all things Mavs all the time. And from that, actually jumped on a podcast with a guy named Ben Sutterth at the BS3 Sports Show for a while when I was in high school. Then went to the Dallas Sports Fanatic and wrote about the Mavs for a couple years until my sophomore year in college, and then started working in the athletic communications department at Oklahoma State, Go Pokes, where I did some basketball work with PR and basketball and tennis as well. And then my junior year of college, going into my senior year, the summer, got hired by this company, Chat Sports, who I've been with ever since. And we do all things on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We have our own website. We've got an app as well. You can go follow us. And now that I've graduated from Oklahoma State, I'm full-time in charge of our NBA side of Chat Sports and doing a daily Dallas Mavericks show there as well.
Wow, that is huge. By the way, we spoke with someone from OSU last week and like the whole situation, but we'll get there towards the end of the show. Ryan, what we're going to do is how we do this, we go back and forth. So you ask a question and then I ask a question. You're up.
All right, Jimmy, let me ask you this. Where were you March 11th when the NBA was suspended? What were you doing? Obviously, you probably watching the Mavericks and Thunder game, as I was probably, but what was your feelings?
Yes, I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma, up at school with some friends, and my friends, because all my roommates there are obviously Thunder fans, so they're watching the Thunder game on the TV. I've got the Mavs game pulled up on my computer. We were playing the Denver Nuggets, and saw something that, you know, this game's getting delayed, the Thunder game's getting delayed because someone has the virus. And I was like, okay, whatever. So we went over to a friend's house, we started playing some games. All of a sudden, my Twitter, because I have all the notifications on, just starts blowing up. And it's like, game suspended, the NBA season will suspend indefinitely. And I'm watching the Mavs game, and it's like halftime. And I'm like, well, are we going to finish the game out? And of course, Mavs did, and Boban Marjanovic drops a 30-piece on Denver, and so we got to end the season, went into the hiatus on a pretty happy note. But I just remember looking at all my friends, because we all love the NBA, we're just like, well, this is a little bit more serious than we thought, huh, guys?
So
like, I know it was,
yeah. Go ahead, Ryan.
It was crazy, you know, just like the watching that second half of your said the game, you know, it's like that eerie feeling because everybody in the arena. You know, and Mark is looking at their phone, you know, Mark Cuban is talking to all the players. It was just like something out of, you know, something you see out of a movie, and it's crazy. But obviously the Mavericks are having a pretty good year. Obviously Doncic is having an MVP type season. Let me ask you, when did you know that Doncic was going to be the real deal?
You know, for me, so I got to, luckily, I got to go to his first home game as a Maverick when he was on the Timberwolves. And I, you know, I was like, okay, this kid's really good. I was obviously really excited about him coming in. I knew he was the truth, but I didn't know just how good he was. But I'll tell you, the game that I originally, the first time I was like, all right, this kid is going to carry this franchise back to the top, was that game against the Houston Rockets where we're down 8. And Doncic scores 8 straight points, ties us up at 102, hits 2 step backs over Clint Capella. And, you know, that was before we blew it up and got Porzingis. But that was the game where I was like, this kid has that mentality where he's just not going to let his team lose the game.
Jimmy.
Yeah, and
go ahead, Ryan.
Well, I was just saying, last year, as a, you know, I kind of fell in love years and years ago with the Mavericks, kind of on a personal side, because I kind of just, I love Dirk Nowitzki. And last year being his last year, I wanted to make sure being in New York, I wanted to watch him one more time. So I went to the Cleveland game right around the trade deadline. So, but you know, first quarter of that game, you know, Doncic drops 21 points, and I knew he was good and I've seen him play, but you know, to see him in person and see how big he is and like how crazy athletic he is for his size and what seems to be a lack of athleticism, it's amazing to see when he gets in that zone, you know, how unstoppable he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the real deal.
So, Jimmy, before the pandemic, the Mavs were in playoff contention. They were at the heaven spot in the Western Conference. How were the Mavericks doing before the pandemic? Were they like going through a good stride? What was your, what is your perception before? Your perception before the whole coronavirus happened?
Yeah. So here's the thing with the Mavs. You know, we were hitting our stride as a team. You know, the chemistry was really coming together. I saw Porzingis and Luka. I mean, I remember the game, one of the early games, or one of the games right before the pandemic hit, was an overtime win over the Pelicans. And that was a game in which Luka had a triple-double, 17 rebounds, 30 points. Porzingis had 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 block shots. And that was a game where I was like, all right, this duo is, you know, they're coming together. They're getting it now. But our problem was the Mavs, was that we had so many injuries. Leading up to the pandemic, we had most of our starting five facing some kind of injury. Luka hurt his ankle, I'm sure you remember. Porzingis was going back and forth. Seth Curry was hot as could be, and he missed multiple games. And then Dorian Finney-Smith even missed some games. So I have the numbers here. Once the calendar switched over to 2020, so once we got into the new year, Porzingis had missed 15 games. Luka missed 9 games. Seth Curry missed 6 games. Dorian Finney-Smith missed 3 games. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. missed a game as well. And that is your starting five right now that Dwight Powell's out of the lineup. So you got a whole starting five that's in and out. And then they all got healthy right when the pandemic hit, and they were playing really well. So I'm really excited. You know, they get this time off. Everyone gets healthy. Obviously, they're going to be without Brunson and Powell still when the season returns. But just to get everyone healthy is going to be so important for this team.
Yeah, with this break, I mean, it's definitely helped out a lot of players, not just in, like, the NBA, but in a whole lot of sports. Now going into this new tournament, I know, like, the whole format is a little bit different. Not everyone's invited. How do you see the Mavericks going into this new mini tournament coming up in July 31st?
Sorry, 8 games really just to knock off the rust is going to be really important for this Dallas team, for any team really, that you get 8 games to go in. And, you know, I don't expect the highest level of basketball out of those 8 games, but I think it gives a chance for every team to get comfortable again. And I think the Mavs, being a younger team than most, are really going to benefit from those 8 before the playoffs. And, you know, I expect big things. If we don't know the exact schedule quite yet, but if we can base it off of what the next 8 games are for the Mavs, they've got, you know, not the worst schedule in the world. So their 8 games coming up after the schedule would have been Phoenix, the Clippers, the Kings, the Trailblazers, Phoenix again, Houston, Utah, and Milwaukee. Now, you look at that, those 8 games, the Clippers and the Bucks are the only team that scare me for the Dallas Mavericks. I think those are two, you know, probably scheduled losses. But you've got Phoenix twice looking on the outside looking in. You've got Sacramento on the outside looking in, Portland on the outside looking in, Houston, who the Mavs have already beat this year, and then Utah, who just lost Bojan Bogdanovic. So I think the Mavs are in a really good position to jump up from the 7th seed to you know, as high as five, but I predict they fall around the sixth seed.
All right, let me ask this, Jimmy. With the loss of Jalen Brunson, who is going to fill in as the backup point guard during the restart?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something that a lot of Mavs fans are kind of back and forth on. I mean, Jalen Brunson is one of those guys who his rookie season, as he was a second round pick, player or fans were like, okay, we got a steal on this kid. And then he comes in the second year, everyone's expectations are through the roof, and he has some ups and downs because he's still a second year player. He's still a young guy, but I'm going to miss him because he ran the offense so well off the bench alongside DeLon Wright. And now that Seth Curry is in the starting five most nights, I guess, depending on the matchups, the two guards off the bench are going to be DeLon Wright and J.J. Barea. And I think DeLon Wright is going to really have to carry the load and step up big, which he was doing really well. He is a great defensive player. Unfortunately, I guess a blessing in disguise. Jalen Brunson was out for the last 10 games leading up to the NBA hiatus. And DeLon Wright got some opportunity to really fill in and get some of those backup minutes as the main point guard. And he did really well. I think DeLon Wright's a guy that a lot of Mavs fans expected to start at the beginning of the season, and now he's coming off the bench. So I think he takes a huge step up. I think J.J. Barea will do what J.J. Barea does during playoff time, and that's step up in the most unexpected ways. But I also wouldn't be surprised, because the NBA is allowing roster spots and a couple extra roster spots per team now, if the Mavs go out and get a Devin Harris, the guy who was on the Mavs last year, they go out and re-sign a Ryan Brokoff as a shooter off the bench to help fill in. You know, they're not going to play big minutes, but guys that can really fill in where the Mavs are lacking.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little worried about this because I didn't go to the Mavericks game against Raptors up in Toronto, where they blew a, I don't know if you remember this, about a 30-point lead in there. There's a game without Luka. Anyways, you know, and I see the lack, you know, not a lack, but just, you know, what happens when Luka's not on the court in crunch time, you know. So that's when, you know, if something does happen, Luka, who's going to be able to run this team and who's going to carry them? I guess, you know, we'll go on, you know, we talk a lot about Luka, but, you know, obviously there's to that Batman, there's always that Robin, and that's KP. What have you learned about KP this year since coming to the Mavericks?
So I was originally calling him the Robin to Luka's Batman, like you said. But after Luka Doncic went down with an injury and Kristaps really took this team over, I'm ready to call him Superman. So it's Batman and Superman on this team together. Because honestly, guy, you know, being the unicorn that he is, can step up when need be. Now, do I want him being the best player on a championship team? No, that should be Luka. But he is a real close second. And you know, I don't think Luka's going to – I think Luka's coming back, and despite what all these stupid reports are saying about him being in bad shape, I think he'll come back ready to go for these eight games. But should he face some injury, I think Porzingis can do enough to carry this team through those eight games. And seriously, I mean – watching those last few games, because it really wasn't until the calendar turned that and Luka went down that we saw Porzingis hitting his stride with this Mavericks team. But I'll tell you what, a couple months off of a guy who's coming off a torn ACL and has already missed a little chunk of the season with some knee soreness is going to be huge for him. I think he is driven. I think he's ready to go. He can be some nights the number one and some nights the number two. And preferably you'll have him as the second option, but if need be, give him the ball at the three-point line and let him make some plays, because there's not a lot of 7'3" guys. Actually, I'll take it back. There's no 7'3" guys doing what he does on a nightly basis.
Jimmy, tell us about this Mavericks team. Are there some pieces missing, or do you think this is a team that could potentially win the championship within like the year or two?
You know, they're not going to win it this year. I'll say that. I actually I made a bet with some of my friends, and I said, listen, I don't expect it to happen, but if the Mavs win the championship this year, I will get the tattoos that Luka Doncic has on his arm exactly replicated on me. And they said, all right, we'll do it. And all my friends are going to pitch in and pay for it. So if that happens, great. I don't expect it, though. That's why I made that deal. But, yeah, I think this team is probably 2 years away from serious championship contention, being realistic. I think a couple things need to happen. You've got your two young stars are 21 and 24. So we don't need to rush the process here. You've got 5 to 6 years of them seriously in there. Well, with KP at least, 5 to 6 years of him seriously in his prime, even a little bit more. Luka, on the other hand, you've got 10 plus years of him still in his prime, which is absolutely terrifying for the rest of the league. What else needs to happen with this team is you've got to get some defensive wings. You've got Dorian Finney-Smith, who has become one of the best, I believe, 3-and-D players in the NBA today. I love what he does. He can guard twos, he can guard threes, and he can guard fours. He can do it all, and he's making his three-pointers this year, which is crazy. But you only got one. And you look at teams like the Los Angeles Clippers, for example, who have two of the best wings in the league. You don't have another guy to guard. You put Dorian Finney-Smith on Kawhi, great. Who's guarding Paul George? Tim Hardaway Jr.? No, thank you. So I think defense needs to be addressed on the wings. I think rebounding is still, even though we were a better rebounding team this year, rebounding is still something that needs to improve. But three things. It's experience that this team is going to get through the playoffs this year and next year. It's defense on the wings. And it's a little bit of rebounding. I think you get those three things, which I expect the experience of the rebounding to be fine. Then I say 3 years, this team is back in the conference finals fighting for a championship.
You think you guys are missing a piece or two, or do you think this group is enough?
Yeah, I'd say we're missing a piece. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. as your third option is, he's been great this year. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he has been probably the biggest surprise of the season. I did a grade video on Chat Sports where I graded all the Mavs and gave Tim Hardaway Jr. an A+ because I didn't expect him to do what he has done, shooting 40% from three and averaging 15 points per game. But I'm not convinced he's the third piece on a championship team. Do I want him on this team for a championship run? Yes, absolutely. But maybe not as the third option. I think there's one more piece, and it's a wing. It's got to be a wing for this team to go to the next level. But I don't think they're far off. Now, could you definitely make it pieces by committee? Yeah, you can pick up a couple really good options in free agency. But I say one piece away from being a championship contender. And that's okay because, again, Mavs fans are really excited about this year. But this team is built for the future. They're built for a long haul, not just 1 year.
Yeah, that's something that I really think about with teams, you know, watching like The Last Dance and looking at like the Warriors, how, you know, certain pieces, certain GMs got to puzzle this thing together right. And I can see the Mavericks really doing it for some reason, but we'll see what happens. Ryan, any more questions?
Yeah, obviously the strength of the Mavericks team is their offense, and specifically I think their offensive shooting. Did you expect this team to be able to shoot the ball like they do this year? And what growth have you seen from Seth Curry from when he first was on the Mavs to coming back to the team?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I think one of the things that I knew right away was that this team is not going to have any problems shooting the ball because, number one, you got Luka Doncic, who can see the floor better than all but maybe two players in the entire NBA. I think he's one of the top three passers in the league today. So he's going to find the open man 100%. When you've got a 7'3" sniper out on the wings and Kristaps Porzingis, you know you're going to be able to make some shots. And then you got Seth Curry coming off the bench, like you just talked about. I mean, he's shooting 45% from three this year. That's absolutely nuts. You've got Tim Hardaway Jr., who, like I said, 40% from three this year. And then, you know, you've even got guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleba stepping up and being able to make a shot. Every guy in this starting five can make a three-pointer. Almost every guy that Rick Carlisle puts out on the floor, with the exception of maybe Willie Cauley-Stein and Boban every once in a while, is a threat to knock down the three. So, yeah, I love this team's shooting ability. It's something that is so important in today's game because of the amount of threes that's taken. And Rick Carlisle does a great job of getting those guys open, and Luka does an even better job of finding them. And now transition into Seth Curry a little bit. As you said, he's definitely seen some growth. He was here a couple of years ago. Dennis Smith Jr. and Seth Curry were supposed to be the backcourt of the future. Obviously not the case. Seth gets injured. He sits out an entire year. That was really disappointing. And then he goes to Portland. He's a great sixth man for them, but didn't get the minutes that I think he deserved. And luckily, he and the Mavs stayed on good terms and comes back this summer for what I think is a bargain to stay here for another 3 years. And listen, man, he can run the point. He can be the sixth man. He can be the two guard next to Luka. There's so many things that he does well. And near the end of the season, or I guess before the hiatus, he really hit his stride. I mean, he pulls up. He makes plays. I'm really, really encouraged from what I've seen from Seth Curry. As long as he can stay healthy, then, you know, I think he's when he transitions back into that sixth man role maybe next year, I think he's a sixth man of the year candidate when it comes down to it.
As everyone knows,
Me and Santiago are very familiar with Seth Curry because he did go to our Liberty University.
Oh, all right. Fan the Flames.
Yeah. With Seth Curry, yeah, actually, you know, it's interesting with Seth Curry. Like, I still don't know what is he. I mean, a starter, a role player. What value does he bring, you know, so far?
You know, so he started the year out, the first, I believe, three games as the starter over Tim Hardaway Jr. And everybody was kind of iffy on it. We were kind of expecting a guy like Justin Jackson actually to start the year, and he didn't, you know, he hasn't really panned out this year. But Seth Curry gets to start at the beginning of the year, and then he gets hurt, and then Tim Hardaway Jr. comes in, scores 15 points per game in the first like five games he starts. So Seth transitions back into that six man role. And the best thing is that Seth is such a team player that he took that role and he ran with it and he excelled in that role. So I love him in the six man role, but our offense has been great with him starting alongside Tim Hardaway Jr. because that starting five has been, based on matchups again, has been Luka, Seth, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dorian Finney-Smith at the four, and KP at the five. And Seth Curry, you know, he can do either one, but I would prefer him in the six man role once probably next year when we're completely healthy once again. But I love the kid, and I think he brings a lot to this Mavericks team that we've been missing.
Ryan,
I guess my last thing is, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, when we need defensive stops, I personally would love to see Boban be playing more in the fourth quarter, just as that, you know, playing alongside KP, you know, because it just seems like teams are just able to post us up in the fourth quarter and get a lot of easy baskets.
Yeah, so here's my thing with Boban, because I mean, I love him to death. I think he's one of the most fun players in the NBA. He's got one of the best personalities. And obviously, on certain nights, depending on matchups, like in that Denver game, when he goes up against Jokic, it's a perfect matchup because Jokic isn't a fast guy. He's not going to outrun you by any means. And Boban's going to pull down boards, and you're not going to be able to stop him when he's sitting in the paint. The problem is, when you run him at the five, is that teams can just run you all over the court because he can't get back on defense depending on who's in that starting five. So I'm with you in that I would like to see him more, but again, it depends on matchups. And our offensive firepower when Porzingis is at the five is incredible because there is not a single center in the NBA with the exception of maybe a Karl Anthony Towns that does similar things to Porzingis. So I like what we're rolling with Porzingis at the five, even though his back to the basket game isn't that strong. I think Boban is a very situational center, and I think he's amazing. When he comes in, gives you 5 to 10 solid minutes in a quarter, great. But running him out there 25, 30 minutes a night it's not the answer because teams are going to outrun you.
Jimmy, of course, last week OSU men's basketball team made huge national headlines. They got suspended for the playoffs next season. One season of the playoffs of next, well, not playoffs, like the postseason. What was your instant reaction over the news? I know they were going through ethical conduct rules, bribes between $20,000. What was your instant reaction?
Really just that it's complete and utter crap, unfortunately, and here's why. So the guy who, you know, I'm sure everyone kind of knows the news, but I'll kind of give everyone a rundown. You know, as a guy who, you know, I worked, like I said, in the communications office, I was doing PR for OSU basketball. I was there when Mike Boynton got hired and Brad Underwood left for Illinois. The guy who did this, Lamont Evans, admitted to the NCAA, admitted to Oklahoma State that I did this on my own. The school had nothing to do with it. And then within 72 hours of Oklahoma State finding out that this guy made some bribes and brought some players onto this team under his own will, Oklahoma State fired him. Now, college basketball and college football and college sports in general, it's a dirty game. You know, there are a lot of coaches doing a lot of things under the table. But I will speak from experience, and obviously I know there's probably a little bias here, but Oklahoma State basketball is about as cleanly run of a program now with Mike Boynton in there as any team. So firing this guy 4 years ago with no players left on the team from his time at Oklahoma State, and we have absolutely nothing to do with him. There's no coincidence that the NCAA has said, hey, next year you get the postseason ban when we have a top 11 recruiting class coming in. We've got the number one recruit in the country in Cade Cunningham coming in. We've got a four-star Rondell Walker coming in. We've got three stars coming in and a grad transfer that's supposed to be amazing. It is not a coincidence that this is the year that the NCAA decided to crack down. So I know Oklahoma State's appealing. I know everybody in the program is completely against this. I haven't seen a single article, a single report, or anyone in support of what the NCAA has decided to do here, because it just doesn't make sense, because this Lamont Evans guy is long gone, and we have nothing to do with him. Oklahoma State has nothing to do with him anymore. So really disappointed in the NCAA, but you know what's new? The NCAA has done a lot to disappoint a lot of people.
That is very true, Jimmy. With regard to this, how scared should Bill Self in Kansas be?
I mean, they should be shaking in their boots, but unfortunately for the rest of the NCAA, I just there's a really good chance that Kansas doesn't get cracked down on as hard as some of these other teams, which is, it's ridiculous. And, you know, they should get almost the death penalty, you would think, if this is what NCAA gets for some guy that isn't even there anymore. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen just because it's Kansas.
Well, guys, we're going to the end of the show. Ryan, any one quick 30-second question?
All right. Going back to – let's switch sports real quick. Jimmy, is this the year that Mike Gundy can finally beat Oklahoma in football?
Chuba Hubbard, Spencer Sanders, Tylan Wallace. Well, I'm giving us a shot, man. We've got a shot. I'll say that much.
This has got to be the year.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on. Ready for poll questions?
Let's do it.
Okay. Who will succeed in the NFL? Jalen Hurts or Haskins, Dwayne Haskins? We'll go with Jimmy first.
Sure. All right. I'm going to go with – so anti-OU here. And I think Dwayne Haskins is in a better position to succeed. So I'm going to go Dwayne Haskins on this one.
Ryan?
I'll go Jimmy on this one. I'll go Dwayne Haskins, obviously. Jalen Hurts, because we don't even know how much he'll ever step on the field. And Dwayne Haskins is at least going to get an opportunity. So.
So you say Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
It's interesting how, like, the whole – because we have one other commentator from the sportscast from Alabama, and he's all about Jalen Hurts. So it's a whole different contrast. I like to, you know, hear from both sides, but – Dwayne Haskins will have a chance. Jalen Hurts is a – I don't know if he's a strong number two backup, but I know he'll have his chance. I don't know if it's this year, maybe for a few minutes, but we'll see what happens. Which is your favorite wholesale warehouse club to shop at, Costco or Hams Club?
I had this argument actually with my girlfriend yesterday, and I'm going with Costco. Big-time Costco guy. Give me all the free samples.
Absolutely, Costco, 100%, and get like a dollar pizza after that. So,
how about you, Ryan?
Oh, Costco, definitely.
Quite interesting. Costco is losing to Hams Club, 60-30, and Dwayne Haskins is losing to Jalen Hurts, 72% to 27%. So I'm thinking.
What? Because Justin Riley's getting all his Alabama.
Exactly. They have a whole different perspective, which is fine. You know, if your quarterback went to your school, you're probably going to go with them all the way to retirement. But anyways, Jimmy, what is the best way to reach you online?
Yeah. So everybody can give me a follow on my Mavs Twitter @all_things_Mavs. And then if you want to follow my personal account, always talking basketball on there as well, @Jimmy_Crowther. I'll be retweeting this podcast and tweeting stuff out, tweeting these links out. And then YouTube. This is where we need y'all's help. All of our listeners, all of your listeners out there. YouTube.com/AllThingsMavs. No spaces, no underscores. That's where you can subscribe to the All Things Mavs channel, as well as YouTube.com/ChatSportsTV. That's where I'm doing all of our main sports, main channel videos is over on the main channel @ChatSports. So definitely go give me a follow. Go hit that subscribe button and like and comment on all of our videos.
Ryan, real quick, what is the best way to reach you, to contact you, if the Bills are going to win the AFC East?
Probably the Mad Dog Report 18 on Twitter. So that's it.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. On Monday, we'll be talking all fighting and boxing. Tyson Fury versus Anthony Johnson. Quite a matchup for next year. But anyways, Jimmy, Ryan, I appreciate you guys coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Thanks. Hopefully talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Andy.